If you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a verse here before I read the one in Psalm 69. It's found in another psalm. If you just want to write it down, it's Psalms 34 and verse 3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." This word, the Hebrew word for magnify, I looked it up. It means to exalt or to honor and glorify. So to magnify the Lord, again, in the language of the Old Testament, is to exalt the Lord. It's to honor the Lord. It's to glorify the Lord. But then how do we magnify him? So to magnify the Lord, exalt him, honor him, glorify him, Psalm 69, if you're there, tells us at least one way that we magnify the Lord. So Psalm 69 and verse 30 reads, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." So I'll praise him with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. So at least one way we magnify the Lord is with thanksgiving. And if you'll just allow me, I'll use the English word and magnify as well, because it means, one definition means to enlarge. So magnify means to enlarge. But I want to, let me just demonstrate something here. All right, I'm gonna, for those, if you're just listening, I have a magnifying glass and I'm gonna look at my hand through this magnifying glass. I can't even get, it looks like from here, I think I've got about three knuckles in there because it's magnified my hand to such a large degree to my perspective. So now when I look at my hand through this magnifying glass, did my hand actually grow and expand? So my hand didn't grow, but my perspective of my hand grew because I magnified it. We can't make God any bigger than he already is. The one who is almighty, the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. We can't actually make him larger, but with thanksgiving, we can magnify him over circumstances. We can magnify him over demon spirits, the devil himself, because he's just another created being. We can magnify the Lord with thanksgiving over tests, over trials, over temptations, over battles, problems, and struggles, because he really is greater. And so this morning, that's just a theme I'd like to center in on this time that we have, is just the words of this verse here, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. And so when we magnify the Lord, it's really just an exercise and an expression of our faith when we confess who God is to us and we confess our faith in him. It's part of our, that's one way we magnify the Lord. I've been taking a multivitamin and so forth. I started off taking B-complex from this particular company called Trivita. They have many different items. And the owners somehow are, they're believers, and you can actually call and receive prayer through the company and so forth. But they have a board-certified doctor of holistic health. His name is Paul Burnett. And he's the head of their, like the wellness services in the company. And he said, in a world filled with stress, negativity, and uncertainty, gratitude serves as a beacon of light it reminds us that even in difficult times, there is always something to be thankful for. Thank God for that. You know, there's, if we look back, it just, I don't have this on the screen. Let me just call it out to you if you want to write it down. Romans chapter 1 talks about people in the ancient world who knew God, but because they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, the Bible says they became vain in their imaginations and they professed to be wise, but they became fools. It was foolish. And what they did is they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And then looking forward into the days, I believe, in which we live and the ones coming, 2 Timothy chapter 3 gives a laundry list of characteristics of people in the last days. And one of those is it says people will be ungrateful. So in contrast to that, let's be grateful and let's magnify the Lord and thanking him, because thanking God is to really be a way of life for us as followers of Jesus. It's not just a November thing, and y'all proved that this morning. It's December. But it's to be a way of life for us, and it's a way of life that helps us overcome ingratitude, helps us overcome a spirit of entitlement that everybody owes me, and it's a way of life that increases our joy. But because when we genuinely thank God, God blesses us with joy in our heart. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Let me give you three blessings, and there are certainly many if you want to write them down, but let me give you three blessings that thanksgiving does invite into our lives. So I'd like to ask you to turn over a few pages maybe to the 100th Psalm, Psalms 100. And thanksgiving invites, first of all, God's presence. Thanksgiving invites God's presence. That's Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. And I'll let you, some of you writing it down, just go ahead and if you want to finish writing that reference down, because I need to make a distinction here. When God, first of all, God's spirit is everywhere. I just said that a moment ago. But the Bible makes a distinction between what is called God's omnipresence. In other words, where his spirit is everywhere, and God's revealed or manifest presence. There is a difference and a distinction between the two. And even when God's Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and draws us to repent of sin and place our faith in Jesus as Lord, his Holy Spirit indwells us. His Spirit enters our hearts, and he's with us always. But again, there is a difference between just being a Christian who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being in God's presence, where we might say God reveals himself to us. And thanksgiving is one way that we come into the presence of the Lord. The Bible says this in Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Not just do it, be thankful to him and bless his name. And then the last verse, verse 5, tells us a good reason to be thankful. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So being thankful brings us into the presence of God. And there's something about it, draws us closer to the Lord and into that place of revealed presence. And this is the, I guess, the real blessing is that when we genuinely come into the presence of God, when his presence is among us and revealed and manifests among us, we sense his awesome holiness. We sense his power. We sense his love. There's like just a, if you, some of us I know have experienced this, and if you haven't, you can. Thanksgiving is one way that we draw closer to the Lord and his presence is revealed among us. And sometimes it's almost like you don't even want to move. There's just such a holiness. And then there's sometimes there's such overflowing joy that you feel like jumping up and down, but it's all the manifest presence of God. And in God's presence, he convicts us of those areas in our lives that are not like Jesus. How many of you are familiar with what happened in Isaiah chapter 6? Remember when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the robe, the train of his robe filled the temple. And there was like this shaking, and he said, I'm dead. He said, I live among people that have a filthy mouth. I got a bad mouth. In God's holiness, we sometimes see our sin, but here's the thing about it. What God reveals, God heals and God cleanses. So God's manifest presence not only convicts us of sin, it comforts us when we're hurting. It strengthens us when we're weak. His presence brings us into a place of wellness in our spirit, wellness in our memories, wellness in our emotions, and even wellness into our physical bodies. Those are blessings that come from the presence of God. It is the presence of God in the church of Jesus Christ that separates his body, his church, from every other religious organization on earth. It is the presence of the living God in his church that separates us from other civic or social organizations, and it's the presence of the living God that separates us as a people, the church of God, from government organizations and agencies. There is a distinction. Thank God for every group that's doing anything to bless someone else, but we are different because we have the presence and spirit and power of the living God. If not, we're just another religious group among the mix. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. He is worthy to be praised and to give him thanks. Number two, would you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16? I'd invite you to look at this one also with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So thanksgiving invites God's presence. And then secondly, magnifying and thanking the Lord invites God's power. So God's presence and God's power. And we'll look at these scriptures here in just a moment. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and beginning in verse 7. The Bible reads, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Please notice all of these verbs, a call to action for us. Verse 9, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. I love that. Verse 10, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Then he says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. That word for that's translated strength in verse 11 is also translated power. The same Hebrew word here. Let me give you a reference and I'll read it to you. He says, seek the Lord and his strength, or again, seek the Lord and his power. It's found in Psalm 59:16. Psalm 59:16 says, but I will sing of your power. It's the same word. Same Hebrew word. So I will sing of your power. Yes, I'll sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Now, would you look back at that verse again, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his power. In other words, when we seek God and we come into his presence, then he also says, seek his power, because his power is available to us. And then kind of the concluding part of that in verse 11 says, seek his face evermore. I don't know if any of your translations may word it a little different, but the same Hebrew word is translated face, presence, and countenance. So it's saying seek the Lord and his face, or seek his presence continually. So it's a lifestyle then, seeking the Lord, giving him thanks, seeking his power, giving him praise. That's a lifestyle for us as followers of Jesus. And don't we all need the power of God in our daily lives? Oh my goodness. We need his presence and we need his power. So these scriptures told us to give thanks to him, sing to him, seek his presence and power continually every day, because we need God's power to do his word. We need God's power to fulfill his commandments. Would you look at that same chapter, verse 34, 1 Chronicles 16, 34? It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then verse 35, and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles. That was just a way of saying the unbelievers at that time. Deliver us from the Gentiles. Now, we know our true enemy are not other people, but we do have an enemy. It says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this is why we're to call out to the Lord for deliverance and victory and mercy. And then he says this, save us, deliver us to give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in your praise. May God help us to thank him and cry out to him for deliverance and victory when we're in those battles that we're facing. We need God's power in our daily lives. We need God's power to do his word. We need God's power in our temptations. We need God's power in our battles. We need God's power in our trials and our tests and struggles. And we need God's power in our failures, in our shortcomings. We need God's power and grace to help us get back up and keep going in this life, because we know how the accuser of the brethren wants to condemn us and use past and our even current failures and flaws to take us from the presence of God so that we don't seek him. And God says, no, that's right, to weaken us, because we don't have the power if we're not in God's presence like we need to be and filled with his spirit and his power. And the devil will use those to try to condemn us and push us away from God. And God says, no, I loved you so much, I paid the price and sacrificed my son and shed his sinless blood to forgive that sin. Don't run from me because you sin. Run to me for forgiveness and strength and grace to help you free you from that sin. Amen. God's presence and God's power. And then he says that to deliver us so that we can give you thanks and to triumph. We need God's power to help us be better witnesses for Jesus. What did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? But you shall receive power, ability, dunamis is the Greek word. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, or be my witnesses, his ambassadors. And then one more, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. So we've got thanksgiving invites God's presence. Thanksgiving invites God's power. And thanksgiving also invites God's peace. God's presence, his power, and his peace. Thank God for the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, as you're turning, the Bible tells us that we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary, through faith in him as Lord. That's how we have peace with God. These verses tell us how to have the peace of God. There's a difference. To be at peace with God means Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I stand by grace before him. To have the peace of God means that I can be right in the middle of a mess, and somehow God's presence is a guard, a sentinel over my heart and mind. So God's presence, God's power, God's peace, and this is God's prescription for his peace. Verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Says, be anxious for nothing. The man who started the grocery store, Randolph Market, gave me my first job, and I worked for his two sons as well. But he had a saying, and it's not the best grammar in the world, but it's great theology. He used to say, don't worry about nothing. And that's great advice, great theology, but not always easy to practice, is it? Don't worry about nothing. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing. So there is a way when we are anxious, let's just be honest, and we're fearful, and where it's like all these worries, there is a way that God has given us that we can replace that anxiety. We can replace that fear. And this is how he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, would you say in everything? By prayer and supplication, and notice this is so important, with thanksgiving. So it's, we replace anxiety with prayer, with thanksgiving. Verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. I do that. I tell God, Lord, I sure like this to happen. I hope this happens. I tell him my requests, but then I say, Lord, I submit it to your will, because ultimately it's not my request that is best, it's your will that is best. But I tell him, I let him know what my will is, and then his will be done. I trust his goodness. I trust his sovereignty. And then he goes on, and this is the second part. If we do the first part, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That means it's not just intellectual. If everything's going my way, I can understand that just fine. But when nothing seems to be going my way, but I do what God says. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will stand as guard over your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, because this is part of the prescription for peace as well. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on, dwell on these things. And then verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see how it's all centered around peace there? So, but I'm so anxious and I'm worried, and my mind is using my imagination to just think of every possible bad scenario and how this can all turn out wrong. What do I do then? Then I come before the Lord and I lay my request before him. But I can tell you, in my own experience in my life, I've just worried a lot of times and called it prayer. I'm not saying it wasn't prayer, but I was missing the ingredient of, I know some people, you just had Thanksgiving, maybe some of you made homemade dishes and you had to make sure every ingredient was in for it to taste right. And if you leave out an ingredient, it's not gonna come out probably the way you want. We can't leave out Thanksgiving in our prayer requests and think it's gonna come out the way we want. So we offer our requests, cry out to God, pour our heart out to him, but we do it with thanksgiving. And then when we're done praying, when those thoughts attack, we capture them with the power of God and we replace them by speaking and thinking on what is true, just, noble, pure, lovely, things that are of a good report, anything that's praiseworthy and or excellent, worthy of praise. We speak that and think on it, and it shoves peace out of the way. And God's peace guards our heart and minds and keeps us sane. Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Would you say it with me? Magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. And then thanksgiving invites God's presence, God's power, and God's peace. And let me give you this one last scripture reference. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 17. And I want to read it from the New Living Translation. It's a little different than the New King James, but just, I believe it makes the point here. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and I'll just read if you want to follow along on the screen. And before I read these verses, let me say this. I said the peace of God and peace with God. The peace of God in our hearts can help promote peace with others. I didn't say it guarantees it, because when you're dealing with more than one person, you have to have both willing. So, but having peace with God and having the peace of God can help me be at peace with others. So this is what it says in Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves. Holy means we're set apart for God, set apart by God and for God. Because of that, he says, you must clothe yourselves. Notice God makes us holy, but then we have a corresponding action to live it out. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13 makes that very practical. Make allowance for each other's faults. Because we all have them. Well, that was quiet. I could be. We all have them. I'll just share this with you. Before I left yesterday, Kim came up to me and she hugged me. She said, I do love you. And I said, I love you too. And I said, I know we both have our ways, but I believe we're good for each other. Make allowance for each other's faults. I wish I always remembered that. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Harmony doesn't mean we're all the same. It means we're in one accord. Harmony. Verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let me pause there a second. Some of you may know that word for rule is actually an athletic term. It means to umpire or to referee. So he says, let the peace that comes from Christ make the call. So if a guy's sliding in home, and you don't know, is he safe or out? The umpire gets to make the call. And the scripture tells us, because you are holy and you are loved by God, let the peace that comes into your heart from Christ make the call. And this is what it says in the rest of that verse, verse 15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule or make the call in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, notice, and always be thankful. So let the peace of Christ make the call that promotes peace in his family or your family. Do you see what I'm saying about the peace with God and the peace of God can help at least promote peace and harmony in our homes and with others? And then he goes on, last two verses. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. I love that. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. And the message about Christ, his word dwelling richly in our lives. And he tells us how. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Don't you know that thankful hearts to God help us receive the wisdom of his word? If I have ingratitude in my heart, I'm blocking the wisdom that I need to live. And part of the wisdom we receive from Scripture is singing songs that are based on Scripture that promote that message. And then verse 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Again, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving helps us represent Jesus accurately to others in our daily lives. I saw a pastor, I think it was back in September, at a conference in Lynchburg. Greg Surratt is his name. He said, our country needs more accurate reflectors of the image of God. I said, wow. Our country needs more accurate reflectors of the image of God. And it's God's presence, power, and peace that helps us accurately represent him to others in our daily lives. God ordained blessings to accompany genuine gratitude. Some of you probably have read, there's been research and studies over years that have repeatedly shown a direct correlation between mental wellness and an attitude of gratitude. whatever we may be going through, if we at least are grateful, it can be helpful to promote well-being in our heart, our mind, and even, I believe, in our body. Don't you want God's presence and power and peace in your life? I'm going to say it like this. It's not just that they are available. He's available. When we get God, we get the package deal. And I can't have God's presence, his power, or his peace without him. But he's available, and we can come to him, and we can receive from him everything that Jesus died on the cross to purchase for us. Because God's a good God, and he blesses his children with good gifts, and all we have to do is trust him and do it his way. I want to invite you this morning. Let's magnify the Lord right now over everything. Let's magnify him. I'm not saying you're not going through a hard time. I'm not minimizing, Lord knows, I'm not minimizing anything of a pain, trouble, trial, loss, whatever battle, temptation you may be going through. I'm simply saying, will you by faith magnify the Lord with thanksgiving this morning over all of that? And then let's experience what he has provided for us, his presence, his power, and his peace. Can we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Just before we sing this chorus, I'm going to pray, and we'll sing a little chorus and invite the children to come in. Is there anyone who would just want prayer today to say, Brother Rocky, I've kind of gone through that little time right now of slipping back into just ingratitude, being ungrateful, not counting my blessings, not focusing on God and his goodness, and I've done more complaining than thanking here lately. And we're all human. We all have our issues and battles, and sometimes we struggle there. But is there anyone who just would like prayer this morning that would just say, Brother Rocky, that's me. But right now, by God's grace, I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to thank him. He is a good father. He's a good God, and I'd never want to take his blessings for granted. Is there anyone who would just lift their hand and say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me right now? Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, we come before you right now and just say, Lord, I'm sure we've all been there. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Don't kick us out when we fall. But Lord, let your goodness cause us to run to you this morning and be genuinely grateful for you, that you're in our lives regardless of what we face, and you're going to see us through, and we get to be with you forever, Lord. This will all be behind one day, but even now you can use these difficult days to help us draw closer to you and grow more like you. That's what we want, and it's what you want. So Lord, today we lay it down as an act of surrender and say, God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your blessings, and I choose to magnify you today in Jesus' name.